Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Proverbs that go that correspond with every day that the Sunday falls on. With today being the 17th, we're studying Proverbs 17. And I'm going to start off with a word of prayer, and then we're going to get back at it. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us all here once again. Thank you for waking us up to see another day. Thank you for getting us through another week and keeping us to come back to your word and to start another week and start another Sunday off right, studying your word through Proverbs. And in Jesus' name, I pray, amen. So now I'm going to hand it off to the real host, Minister Jamal Harris.
Yo. Good morning, fellas. This is the first word. This is the first word, the interactive internet radio show where us men fellowship together and get on the line and talk about the word of God. Just like Brother Anthony said, since today being the 17th, we'll be studying Proverbs 17. So let's get it started. Verse 1 says, better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. I believe that this proverb is telling us that in our families and in our homes that we live in, it is better for us to have a little bit or not even so-called good food with peace and quiet with everybody on one accord than a house that is full of food and everybody's laughing and everybody or a house full of food where there's plenty and there's plenty to go around, first, seconds, and thirds, but a house with strife. A wise man once told me a long time ago, he said that your ministry would never excel until you get your family to stand in your house and prayer. That's why our first ministry is our home, making sure that everybody at home is all right. So I think that's what this proverb is saying, that it is better to just have dry crust with peace and quiet. So it's telling you that, you know, we should get in line with our families and our homes, and it is better to do that with just dry crust than to have an ample amount of food or a feasting, as the word says, with strife. Can I get any of the men on the line to chime in on that?
All right, so I'm going to say my statement first, And then basically just let everybody know on the line, all lines are open, so feel free to comment at any time. So basically the way that I feel about this verse is, you know, how people say that money can't buy happiness. You can have everything in the world, and, you know, you can have all the money in the world, but you can still not be happy. So it's like even the littlest things for the people that maintain and, you know, keep everything in order in their house, you know, that makes them happy. That keeps everybody happy. And I think that when you have nothing, you respect when you get more. So that's the way I feel about it. Any other men on the line? All lines are open.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I definitely agree with both of you in regards to, you know, your household and having your household comes first. You know, long as I think that, you know, you have your beliefs, you know, if you believe in God and, you know, you're a hard worker and you have your home and love is in your home and love and respect is in your home, you know, that your home, is, like you said, is where it starts. You have a lot of people you see out here. You can see it on TV all the time. A lot of these athletes, a lot of these people with wealth, you know, monetary wealth, where their kids still go out here and they have everything in the world, but they still go out here and want to indulge in a life that they don't even need to be indulging, you know, whether it's be drugs or whether it just be some type of lifestyle that they feel that they need to live. And you see it all the time. Then, you know, I grew up in the inner city, you know, and I grew up in the projects. You know, we didn't have a whole lot, but what we did have was love. What we did have is faith. So when you have those two in your home, you grow up with that instilled in you. And your home is nice. We didn't have everything, but we had it what we needed. And I knew that. And I knew that how my mom and my parents worked hard to get the things that I want. And you appreciate that a lot more. And that's something that you could be instilled in all men and women. And that continues out to your family when you grow up or as I got older. And I instilled that into people that was close to me and people that was in my family and things of that nature. So I agree with both you guys in that aspect.
Amen. Any more men chime in on the situation? Amen. I want to thank you for your comment. One thing I like that what you said is about when you were growing up, you didn't have a whole lot, but what you did have was love, and what you did have was family, and oftentimes we read about these millionaires, these billionaires, as to what Brother Anthony was saying, they're committing suicide, and they and people like us that don't have the money that they have, we looking at them like, what is wrong with them? They got everything that the world says. You know, that you're supposed to have. They have the money, they have the wealth, they have the power. So we look at it and say, well, why are these things going on? But back to what Brother Mike said, he said when they was younger, he didn't have a whole lot. But what they had was love, and we learned how to deal with the situations that we were in. We didn't jump off of buildings and everything, but we got together as a family. So that's what I think this verse is saying. So we're going to go to verse 2. It says, a prudent servant will rule over a disgraceful son and will share the inheritance as one of the family. I believe that this is saying that the prudent servant, the one that is very diligent, the one that is always, you do what I ask you to do, you always comply with what I'm saying. I believe that this scripture is saying that for a disgraceful son, he will rule over them because he is doing such as he is told. So when it comes to us, if we're doing what God tells us to do, if we're lining up with the word, we will rule over a disgraceful son. And when it says a son in the servant, see, it breaks it down because the servant isn't a part of the family. But the son is already a part of the family. So what it's saying is that even though that this servant is not a part of the family, the prudent servant will rule over the disgraceful son and will share
the inheritance as one of the family. So what we've seen is recognizing here that the son is already a part of the family, but the servant isn't. But the prudent servant will rule over a disgraceful son. See, that's the ones that when our fathers try to instill certain morals and teachings into us, we don't listen. We don't want to listen. We don't want to have nothing to do with what they're saying, and we won't take heed to the lessons that can be learned in the lessons that our fathers are trying to teach us. So what it's saying is that the prudent servant, see, now the prudent servant is listening, taking heed, also putting it into play. See, he's just not getting the plans. He's just not getting a playbook, but he's executing the playbook the right way. So when you do that, the Bible tells us that the prudent servant will share the inheritance as one of the family. What do you guys think about that?
I think that what you said was you hit it right on the head. Like everything you said, that was one that that struck me as well. And when you think about it, you know, you see it. So I see it a lot. And you know, those matter of fact, I had a person that was a patient yesterday who owned her own business. It was a piece of business that she owned, her own business, and she was telling me that she had three sons, and the two older sons didn't want to have anything to do with the business. They just wanted to go out and basically, you know, live off their parents and spend the money that they made off their parents. Was hired to have this business, to leave it to their plans was to leave it to their son, but they don't even want it. They just take it for granted. So she was telling me that in order for the business to keep going, that they're probably going to have to give it to or let one of the workers manage it, or let somebody that's not even in the family manage it. And it's so ironic that we read this verse today, and that's exactly what she was saying. Was that she want her sons, they built this for to stay in the family, for their sons to have it, but yet they have to hire an outside person just to continue the business. And, you know, you look at it, you know, as wow, you know, they built that hire for not just them, but they built that hire for their future generations to have and their future families to have, and yet their children don't even want it. You look at it like, wow, I just can't understand that. I don't understand that.
Amen. Brother Anthony? Oh, I heard somebody else.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
I definitely feel like, you know, that you guys are hitting right on the head about the verse. It reminds me of, like, maybe, like, you know, back in the times when, you know, as we were in slavery, you know, the master will always have a servant that will always take care of the kids and everything. And then since, you know, when the kids will grow up, they will always have that memory of that one person that took care of them. So it's like, as your master gets older, or whoever you're working with, like Mike said, basically they'll always remember that one person that has taken care of everything, that knows what to do, that's put the time in to give back. So basically, like it says, the master is this grateful son and a wise servant that takes the time to actually put in, to actually correct that child and to show the master that that everything that he does is worth it, and, you know, puts the time in to get what he needs back, which is the inheritance.
Amen. Any more men on the line that can chime in?
Yeah, good morning, brothers. I think,
you
know, one thing that stands out to me when it comes to this passage of Scripture is that when you think about the, you know, the time, the old days, you know, a lot of things had to do with inheritance. And just by simply being in the bloodline, you know, you as the son of the father will automatically would take on and inherit his riches and wealth. But it's an encouragement for us today in the kingdom of God to know that if we serve God faithfully, that he says he will reward and we'll have access to the inheritance just in the same manner of one who is his already a son. So I think we can look at the parallel between that and faithful service in the kingdom of God.
Amen, amen, amen. Everybody, y'all on it today, and we're gonna continue on to the next verse. It said, a crucible for silver and furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. I believe that scripture is saying that it doesn't matter what you have on the outside, and it doesn't matter how good of a game that you talk, and it doesn't matter how many times that you go out here and help the homeless. It's about what are you doing it for? Are you doing it for show so you can look like gold? So you can look like, oh, yeah, this person just gave $5,000 to the homeless shelter. But are you doing it to say that you did it? Because if you're doing it that way, God does not bless that. But if you're doing it to say, Father God, this is my leap of faith, that I'm sowing this seed into this, Father God, hopefully that it will take up and accelerate. And for the help of these people, that's it and that's all. It's a lot of people that, you know, give money to organizations that we don't even know about every day. But it's because they want to stay behind the scenes, and that's when I think that it is the pure heart of God. It's the love of God where they just want to say, I don't even need recognition. I don't want nobody to know about this, but here's a token of love. Here's a token of appreciation to show that what you're doing, you're not doing in vain, and keep on pushing, keep on going. So I believe that no matter what we do on the outside, if it's not coming within from the true aspect for the love of God and not for a show and not for a performance or just to say I did it, I believe that God will bless that. But if you're just doing it to say, look, y'all, I gave $5,000 to the homeless shelter, God's not going to bless that. What y'all think about that?
Hey, fellas, I think you're absolutely right. When you understand that you can fool man and you can run a game on man, but you have to understand that God is the one that looks at the inward man, and that he knows what your intentions are. He knows who you're trying to run a game. And so you might get away with it a little while with man, but ultimately, you know, what's in the dark is going to come to light, and God's going to, I say, pull the cover off of you and show you for what you are. So the best thing to do is to get into the Word and let God work on your heart so that you have the right motivation and the right intentions so that you won't have to face that embarrassment down the line, because truly it'll find you out if you're trying to run game. I know a lot of times we come up with young men, we try to run game on the ladies, and what eventually happens is your game runs out, and you get embarrassed and you find out, you know, that you're in it for the wrong reason, and the gig is up.
Amen. You want to make a chime, man? All right. So basically, you know, what he's saying is that you do it from your heart, don't just do it for show, because like Pastor just said, you get to run a game, the game going to run out. And everybody going to see you for what you are, who you are, who you really are. Like Pastor said, got to take that cover up off to show people who you really are. So if there's no more comments, we're going to go to verse 4. It says, a wicked person listens to deceitful lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. This scripture is telling us about the wicked person, about what they love. They listen to deceitful lips. This is something that they crave. This is something that they are familiar with. This is something that they usually do. And it says a liar pays attention to a destructive tongue.
That's all they know, and that goes back to when we were saying if you are hanging around a bunch of positive people, you don't have a choice but to become positive. But once you start to hang with the negative people, and the Bible calls it a wicked person, wicked. So when we start to hang around these wicked people, you listen to the deceitful lips. That's what you like. When you start to hang around a liar, you understand that it pays attention to a destructive tongue. That's what they love to hear. That's their motivation. Just like soft and sweet words are good to the bone for us. See, for that wicked person, it's just about the destructive. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. When I see this person, this, that, and the fourth, and the other. We often know people that always just like to keep stuff going. You gonna let this person talk to you like that? I know you ain't gonna let this person talk to you that. You gonna let this person bump you? You gonna let this person step on your shoes and not say sorry? Because if I was them, I'd have did this and I'd have did that and I'd have did this. So I believe that's what this scripture is telling us. Any men can chime in on the situation?
I think for me, it says a lot. You know, when you're growing up and when you're young, impressionable, and you don't have much, you know. Like you said, when they're there and the positive people in your life, you listen to the people. Like, you listen to the people that's on, like the young guys. You listen to the people that's on your corner. You listen to the people that's, quote-unquote, in your neighborhood. You listen to the people that's on your block. And that's all you started hearing. You know, when I was hearing that like that. It took, you know, when once you step out, once you have an opportunity to step out, I was blessed to be able to step out of that environment. I was blessed to be able to step out of a certain situation and certain lifestyles. And then you look back and now you can hear it. So when I hear people talking now, or the younger generation talking now, and even the older people talking now, you know, now I can look at them like, are you really talking like this? Like, do you really believe what you're saying? You know, like, because people tend to really start to believe what they hear. They really start believing what it was out here. And so now, you know, I could pull people to the side and be like, you know, why are you listening to that? What makes you believe that? Why would you want to believe that? You know, and I think more people, like the young nowadays, this is all they want. This is all they want to hear. This is all they want to see. And they have to get out this mold for people like on the phone or people like yourself. You know, we when we get out there to pull them to the side and be like, just look, stand back, listen to what he's saying. And if you just really listen to it, you'll start to change your ways. You'll start to have different thoughts, a different, you know, way of thinking and things of that nature. So I do believe that these young kids, you know, they gravitate to that. But like myself, I'm glad I was blessed to be able to step back. Be able to see it, to be able to hear, be like, this is not right. This is not what should be going on, you know. And when they out here, these people, these wicked people, that's all they want. All they want is to have more gravitate to people to them, because that feels that makes them stronger. So I think it's up to people like myself to be out here. I have a coworker, and he's a younger guy, really young, 18. He lives in a bad part of the neighborhood. And I tell him all the time when we be talking, and I'd be like, he'll tell me, like, oh, my friend got this scam, my friend got this, my friend got that. And I'd be like, why are you entertain that? You know, what is in your thought process to make you entertain that? And I try to tell him something totally different so he could see. And he could go back and be like, you know what? This ain't right. This is not what we're supposed to be doing as young men and young women out here.
Amen. Any more men can chime in?
Yeah, I definitely feel like you guys are hitting it right where it needs to be said. Like, I'm going to connect what you guys both were saying, you know, like the younger generation and everything that we hear and, you know, everything that we say nowadays is try to keep up with everybody, you know, social media and everything and certain places where we go. Especially in school and different places in the workplace, sometimes you wind up trying to listen to gossip, trying to hear what's going on in, you know, in the world. And like in school, you know, you're always joining on somebody, going in, always trying, you know, stay with the in crowd or get at somebody, you know, to try and stay relevant. But at the same time, being relevant sometimes doesn't help you in life. And just, you know, staying up with one thing doesn't mean that, you know everything else to keep it together. So, like you guys are saying, you know, when you listen to other people, you listen to social media, you listen to the people that aren't in your corner but just trying to get something started, the people that always just try to egg this situation on and, you know, try to make things worse, those are the people you got to watch out for and not listen to them and know the difference between people that are there to help you and there to hurt you.
Amen, amen. Anybody else?
Yeah, you know, one thing is I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this, you know, I think this offers some introspection into ourselves because it says a wicked person listens to deceitful lips and a liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. So this is a description of the individual that's able to be influenced by that type of behavior, which means that if we're at a point in our life where we still are influenced by that, then there's some self-introspection that needs to take place. Because there's something inside of us. It's not necessarily the deceitful person, but it's also something inside of us.
Amen. Amen. You guys, y'all on it this morning. We're going to move on to verse 5. Verse 5 says, whoever mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. Whoever gloats over disaster will not go punished. And I believe that the scripture is saying that the people that do talk about us, the people that do that doesn't want to see us do good, the ones that laugh when we're going through situations, the ones that count us out, the ones that say, yeah, where's your God now? The ones that say what they call them, the naysayers, God will take care of them. If we just stay steadfast and unmovable in his work, don't become, like Reverend Grimes say, that wicked person and listen to what everybody else is saying. How are you going to let this person talk about you? How are you going to let this person do that to you? God is going to punish them. And it's not our job to punish. That's what we have to understand. And it's not our job to get back at the person. It's not our job to try to make things right. We serve a God that can do all things. And we hide behind his cross when things go sour. We run to him when we need help and need guidance. So I believe that this scripture is telling us that don't worry about it. The people that talk about you, the people that counted you out a long time ago, it's people that didn't count us out a real long time ago. We know some people that right now that counted us out, that just laughed in our face, told us that we weren't going to be nothing. But God is telling us that we will be all right and they will not go unpunished. What y'all think about that, fellas?
Well, I definitely agree with you. And, you know, I had a situation too that not too long ago where I was riding with a boss. And we was riding down the street, and a homeless person, you know, was standing on the corner. He was asking for some change or whatever. So I rolled down the window to give that person some change. And she was just like, don't get that person no change. Don't get that person no money. And I was like, why? Why wouldn't I get this person no money? I don't know. You know, like I told her, I don't know what made that man or woman get to the point that he's at right now. I don't even know. You know, what's in that person's heart? What he going to do with the money? It doesn't matter. I'm not giving that person the money because, you know, because it's something. I'm giving them because I feel that he needs it. You know, I feel in my heart that it's good for me to give this person money. I want to help this person. You know, she was just like, well, he's just going to keep asking. Okay, so what? So what? You know, I'm not here to judge this person. It's not for me to judge him. You know, but it is here for me if I have it. To give it, to extend to him, so maybe he go get him something to eat, or maybe he may do whatever he want with it. But the point is that who are you to say not to give that person who needs something money or whatever it may be, a sandwich or whatever. So when people see these homeless people out here, you know, nobody knows how they got to that situation. So you never know that. You know, they may really be starving, they may really need something. So I try to always give like that in the show. Like, you know, if I have it, I definitely want to give to those who doesn't. And it made me upset when she was just like, I'll never give to them. I never give to that. I was just like, well, why? You know, it doesn't make no sense, like you said earlier, but you'll give to a charity just to say that you gave to a charity. You know, but you won't give to a person that's standing in front of you 5 feet away that may need a meal, or they may need something to drink, or may need that money to do something to help them. But you would give just to give to say that you give. So, and that verse really, you know, plays a lot for me, because I had people in my family that was homeless. I had people that didn't have no place to stay, and I helped them. So, not just family members, but in everyday life, I think that if you have it, that you should always at least try to give from the heart. Obviously, it's got to be from the heart, but just try to give from the heart. And I would try to tell her that, but for some people listen, some people don't. But for me, you know, that's how the verse speaks to me. It speaks in that real-world context of, you know, you walk past somebody, it looks, and now you just laugh at him. Look at that person. Oh, look, he stinks. Oh, he's this and he's that. You know, instead of just saying, well, you know, let me give this person a couple of dollars, or, you know, I don't need these pants, I don't need these shoes. I've given old clothes and walked out and given them to homeless people that was on the street when I lived in Atlanta, just because I felt I didn't use them, I didn't need them no more. Why am I going to just throw them away or throw them in the trash? Most people do. So go give them to somebody who may need it. It may help that person. It may get that person that little bit of something in their heart to help them out. You know, you never know what little thing may lead to a big thing. And that's what I always try to tell people, my nephews and my cousins and my family. You know, something very small can lead to something very big. I always remember that.
Amen, amen. Any more comments or last words? All hearts and minds are clear. We're going to look to the Lord. God, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for everybody that's on this land. Father God, to show their diligence to you, Father God. Father God, we want to thank you, Father God, just for life itself. And Father God, we ask you to be with us, Father God, after we get off this line, Father God, be in our services. Bless pastors. Build them up where he needs to be built up, Father God. Please bless everybody on the line. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Till next week, fellas, this is the first word. See y'all next week.
All right.